Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. And we're just over a day away from observing the Passover on the night of April 7th. Members of the Philadelphia Church of God worldwide will be keeping this ceremony. And then the very next evening, the night of April 8th, begins the Days of Unleavened Bread Festival. If you're so inclined, you can listen to my Trumpet Bookshelf episode from Friday and also just keep a lookout at the kpcg.fm archives, because there's a lot of different radio shows right now covering those observances and really trying to give you the inspiration, God's perspective on those observances, why they're so important for us to keep. First focusing on Christ's sacrifice and then focusing on going forward as we strive to remove sin from our lives forever. So it's really just an exciting time of year for God's people around the world, even as there have been a lot of regulations put in place by many national and local governments that have made keeping these observances pretty much different than we've ever experienced. Just an unprecedented situation with the way that we'll have to navigate these government regulations to make sure that we obey God. Isolation. You're probably experiencing isolation right now as you listen to this. Most everyone around the world on this planet has been confined to their homes, either completely or maybe allowed to leave for the most basic essentials. Maybe some of you are still able to work, but you have to work from home. Almost all of our lives have changed drastically in the last several weeks because of the coronavirus, and mainly just because of government reaction, overreaction to that. I just thought it was interesting because Mr. Joel Hilliker wrote an update in the PCG News email that went out on Friday, and I'd encourage you to sign up for that for free at thetrumpet.com. You can get those emails straight to your inbox once a week to give you an update on God's work. But he wrote an article titled, "Amid Coronavirus Lockdown, Keep Fellowshipping." At the end of this article, he actually linked to 7 more articles about conversation, about fellowship, about friendships, encouragement, dating, things we all desperately need right now. We are naturally, as human beings, social beings, because God is a social God. And in one of these articles that Mr. Hilliker linked to, it's actually another article that he wrote way back in January 2002, titled, "What is True Christian Fellowship?" Actually, this isn't even one of the ones that he linked to. This is a different one, but it's at the homepage of pcg.church at any rate. So this is another article that he wrote. And just think about how this article from over 18 years ago applies to what we're going through right now. He wrote, "A major epidemic plagues people today. It can be measured in statistics such as divorce and suicide rates. It can be seen in the prevalence of depression. You can see it in the parties people go to, the entertainment they seek out. Though we are packed into cities, often surrounded by people, a major problem among many is loneliness." That article from over 18 years ago applies more than ever right now. Never before have so many millions and billions of people been isolated like this. It actually reminds me of a scene in a Disney animated movie called WALL-E. It's about this little robot in a futuristic world, and all the people in that world are round like beach balls, and they all have to sit in their own personal pod that will transport them everywhere without them having to move a muscle. And right in front of their faces in this little personal pod is a TV screen. So people are whisked all over the place without even paying attention where they're going because they're just absorbed in screens. And I thought if they just would put maybe a glass casing on top of those pods to protect themselves from viruses, it would be pretty much exactly like we're going through right now. We do have cars that can drive without us paying attention these days. And we do have screens that we access constantly. And there is an obesity problem, especially in the more wealthy nations, as we maybe have more access to interconnectivity than we ever have before just because of technology, but we're not really interacting outside of our homes, especially now where we're all being isolated by government mandate. And this does cause loneliness to creep in. This is a huge problem to battle. I've talked before about this increasingly prevalent problem of mental health issues, people struggling with their mental health, struggling with depression, even millionaires, people who have everything physically still being depressed. It is a sad time that a lot of people are going through, possibly you personally. Maybe being laid off or not being able to pay some of the bills right now. Being prevented from socializing in ways you normally would. Especially for those of you who are not members of the Philadelphia Church of God, you can feel more isolated than you ever have, by far. Without a spiritual family of God's people to stay in contact with while you're stuck at home. This can be a really hard time. Maybe the only interaction you have outside your home is passing by someone at the grocery store. Or even if you are still able to work, maybe that's not particularly an uplifting environment with the types of topics being discussed there. So what I'm getting at is that we really need to know how to counteract loneliness and isolation. How to truly fill the void that we all experience in times like this. We all know that we have a void that needs to be filled by something. So many people try to fill their voids with addictions, with character-destroying habits and activities. We know that there's a void because the Bible tells us there's a void. You can see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 9 it says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." This is saying that the vast majority of all human beings have no idea the future that God is setting up for them. Isn't this a time where we desperately need vision? Don't we need inspiration and encouragement while we're stuck at home? Thankfully, Key of David presenter Gerald Fleury delivered a TV program recently about vision that just went up at thetrumpet.com over the weekend. You can watch that program, Two Kinds of Vision. We really need vision to sustain us right now. It says here, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10, "But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." This is saying that we humans are different from the animals because of our human spirit. We can comprehend things that the animals would never consider. We can think and reason and plan, create, design. We can communicate. How badly do we need communication right now? So we are different from the animals because we possess this spiritual component, this human spirit, to combine with our human brains. But it then says that we can't understand the things of God without the Spirit of God. We're still incomplete without God's Holy Spirit. We will have no concept of his future for us, of our purpose in this life, without access to that Holy Spirit, or without God at least starting to work with your mind and open your mind to his truth before giving you his Holy Spirit. We need this. This is the one true way to fill the void. We've all probably felt that sense of restlessness that we get from being inside for too long. And maybe sometimes we turn to maybe going out to see a movie or go to attend a sporting event or some other social activity or just go out to a restaurant. These are outlets that are no longer available right now. There's, of course, a lot more destructive things we could be doing to try to fill that void, like I mentioned. But this is the only way that actually will fill the void. If we fill up on God's Holy Spirit, if we fill our minds with God's truth, that's the one way to actually fill the void that won't leave us feeling unsatisfied. That's what we really need. Consider the difference between human governments, the human way of doing things, and God's way of doing things. Here's what it says about God's work under the late theologian and educator Herbert W. Armstrong. Just take a moment to consider and marvel at this priority for God's work under Mr. Armstrong. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." This is talking about this end time, in the last generation or two before the return of Jesus Christ. And God did send one man to unite his church, to put a high priority on building families, physical families are at the core of that, of course, within each of our homes, having parents who love each other and who love their children and interact with each other God's way. But then more than one family will combine to form a congregation within the church. And these congregations combine to form the church as a whole, and the entire church works together to do God's work. This focus on family, on unity, is paramount to being a true Christian. God emphasizes togetherness. And how can you be together without communication? the previous chapter, Malachi chapter 3, talks about a loyal group of God's people called Philadelphians, and those are the members of God's church today. And it says here, Malachi 3, verse 16, "Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." These Philadelphians speak often to each other. We lift each other up. We encourage each other. And ultimately, that fellowship gets back to the quality of our communication with God. How well we communicate with each other reflects how well we communicate with God. 1 John 1 says, "Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." That's 1 John 1, verse 3. Ultimately, when we communicate with God's people, we're communicating with God and Christ. God's people have that Holy Spirit in them, which is like having Christ live in them. And when we talk to each other, it's like we're speaking to Christ who is dwelling in that other person. And it really is as though we are speaking directly with the Godhead. This is the way we need to view true Christian fellowship. It's a type of communication. It's a type of conversation we can only have with other spiritual brothers and sisters within God's church, within God's family. So I would say to those of you listening who are isolated right now and not a part of the church, what is God maybe trying to teach you during this time? What is the lesson to learn from this government-enforced isolation? People in God's church have to fight loneliness too, but at least all of us have that outlet. Have people we can talk to on the phone. Have people we can email or write letters to who are of like mind with us, who possess the Holy Spirit like we do, and can communicate on that spiritual plane. But for those of you who have been enjoying this message from God's church, whether for weeks or months or years, you know full well that there's not other people you can really discuss this truth with. Of course, fundamentally, it gets back to all of our individual relationships with God, but we need to supplement that with true Christian fellowship. And that's been more evident than ever during this lockdown, how badly we need fellowship. This past Sabbath, I had the chance to talk on the phone with a member in God's church for about an hour. And I have to say, it really made my Sabbath so much better than it was the week before. This is what we need. There are a lot of ways to communicate, even while and stuck in lockdown like this. I've been receiving a lot of really lovely letters in response to some of these radio programs. One of them said, "I have discovered the PCG and read most of the literature for about 8 years now. I have been caught up in this world for the last few years and stopped keeping the Sabbath and holy days and studying and praying altogether. After listening to your program about being called, I found myself stirred and moved again, like I was 8 years ago. Thank you for reminding me of what an honor and privilege it is to be invited out of this evil world by God the Father and to marry Christ after his second coming." That was from a listener to my other show, Trumpet Bookshelf, and this person is from North Dakota. But you see there, This is what God might be trying to do in your life. Maybe he's trying to stir and move you while you're stuck at home, while there's nothing else to do in some cases. Rather than turning to vice, something that will tear down character, what about taking some time to think about what God wants from us during this? And I must say, for those of you who aren't members of the church, it's hard to even describe what a benefit it is to be just surrounded by other people who think the same way, who do have the same type of vision of their future, who know God's truth, and who let that truth guide their lives. And to be able to communicate regularly with these people is a blessing, really, beyond what I could tell you about right now. You have no idea what you're missing. This is something that can really keep us uplifted and soaring, even as we're suffering a little bit physically or financially right now, maybe. These are tough times. And yet, we can feel as interconnected with God's people as ever if we put in the effort and we get a little bit creative, even if we can't meet together necessarily. But do you want this fellowship? Do you want this outflowing love to be a part of your life? It really can make a big change. But like I said, it does start with our personal relationships with God. Here's what Mr. Armstrong wrote about his relationship with God. Right when he became a church member. Somehow I began to realize a new fellowship and friendship had come into my life. I began to be conscious of a contact and fellowship with Christ and with God the Father. When I read and studied the Bible, God was talking to me, and now I love to listen. I began to pray and knew that in prayer I was talking with God. I was not yet very well acquainted with God, but one gets to be better acquainted with another by constant contact and continuous conversation. So the fellowship I'm talking about does start there, with that personal relationship with God. And then we build on that by speaking often one to another. This is something that God's church provides that you truly can't find anywhere else. This type of deep spiritual connection, this type of communication that can really cause your heart to sing. The Bible describes fellowship that way. As alluded to in that article, What is True Christian Fellowship? Here is a quote. This is from the ancient Israelite King David, a man described as a friend of God, a man after God's own heart. And David said in Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. This is talking about David praising God's name, rejoicing in the fact that he could have a relationship with God. And fellowship just builds on that. We can praise God together in the way that we communicate with each other. Verse 3, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. You could keep digging and digging forever, and you wouldn't get to the depths of God's greatness. You could talk with this day and night with your spiritual brothers and sisters in God's church and never come to the end of the topic. And here's the point here that's specific about God's work. Mr. Hilliker writes in this article, What is True Christian Fellowship? David didn't just pray about God's greatness. He fellowshipped about it. Verse 4, Psalm 145, verse 5, actually. I will speak of the glorious honor of your majesty and of your wondrous works. He talked about God's work. The work was a major topic of David's conversation. Consider how the work has actually increased. Its power has increased during this time. Now, before, God's people got together in person for Bible studies and Sabbath services every weekend. And that's not really happening right now. But God's people are still receiving those messages. And on top of that, the last 3 weeks, there's been a special Sabbath edition of the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. One of them given by God's apostle, Mr. Gerald Fleury. Two of them given by an evangelist in the church, Mr. Stephen Fleury. Those messages are available to everyone in the world. You can find them on YouTube. You can find them at kpcg.fm, at thetrumpet.com. We can all access this. We're actually receiving more spiritual enrichment than we had before all of this happened with the lockdown. Mr. Hiller continues, David wanted others to talk about this as well. Psalm 145, verses 6 through 7 here, he quotes, "And men shall speak of the might of your terrible acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness." Mr. Hilliker continues, "Do we fit this category? Is God's righteousness, God's law, God's greatness a major focus of our fellowship? Is what God is doing through his work a major focus of our fellowship?" Then verses 10 and 11, "All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power." That is how uplifting true Christian fellowship can be. And that's something that you can experience. If you step out, if you take action, if you see what you need to do in order to connect with God's people like this, and we can really soar at this time where the world is depressed, is grinding to a halt, we can soar spiritually because of our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. So today we've been talking about true Christian fellowship. We've been talking about fighting back against this government-imposed isolation. I hope you all have a really wonderful, inspiring Passover and the start of the Days of Unleavened Bread coming up here. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 11:30 a.m. Central Time.